Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the first canto, chapter 3, text number 3. And today's topic will be entitled, Who is Bhagavan? In case you don't know. But the Srimad Bhagavatam actually leads up to that. And as we've been reading in the previous chapters, it's showing us in the last chapter too, it was showing us how we can actually come to a purified state. But yet it gives hints about Bhagavatam. It talks about Supreme Personalities. And then now, in this chapter, it's going to bring that into more detail. So let's dive right into the verse. Yashava Yava Samstanai Yashyavayava samstanai Kalpito Loka Vishtara Kalpito Loka Vishtara Tad Vai Bhagavato Rupam Tadvai Bhagavato Rupam Vishudam Satvam Urjitam Vishudam Satvam Urjitam Yashyava Yava Samstanai Kalpito Loka Vishtaraha Tadvai Bhagavato Rupam Vishudam Satvam Urjitam Yashyava Yava Samstanai Kalpito Loka Vishtaraha Tadvai Bhagavato Rupam Visudham Satvam Urjitam. Vaishnavis. Samstanai. Kapitolo Kavishtadaha. Tadvai Bhagavato Rupam. Vishudham Satvam Urjitam. Yashyaiva samstanai Kapito loka vishtadaha Vata lokukam Visudam satvam urjitam Yashyaiva yava samstanai Kapito loka vishtadaha Vai Bhagavato Rupam Sudha Santamudvita. Anyone else? Yasya Vaya Sasananam Kapito Lokavishtadaha Tadvai Bhagavato Rupam Visudam Sattvam Urjitam Yasya. Whose? Avayava. Bodily expansion. Samstanai. Situated in. Kalpitaha. Is imagined. Loka. Planets of inhabitants. Vistaraha. Various. Tatvai. But that is. Bhagavata. Of the personality of Godhead. Rupam. Form. Visuddham. Purely. Sattvam. Existence. Urjitam. Excellence. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is believed that all the universal planetary systems are situated on the extensive body of the Purusha, but he has nothing to do with the created material ingredients. His body is eternally in spiritual existence par excellence. Please repeat. It is believed that the universal planetary systems are situated on the extensive body of the Purusha. But he has nothing to do with the created material ingredients. His body is eternally in spiritual existence par excellence. Purport. The conception of the Virat Rupa or Vishvarupa is the supreme absolute truth is especially meant for the neophyte who can hardly think of the transcendental form of the personality of Godhead. To him, a form means something of this material world, and therefore an opposite conception of the absolute is necessary in the beginning to concentrate the mind on the power extension of the Lord. As stated above, the Lord extends his potency in the form of the Mahatattva, which includes all material ingredients. The extension of power by the Lord and the Lord himself personally are one in one sense, but at the same time, the Mahatattva is different from the Lord. Therefore, the potency of the Lord and the Lord are simultaneously different and non-different. The conception of the Virat Rupa, especially for the impersonalist, is thus non-different from the eternal form of the Lord. This eternal form of the Lord exists prior to the creation of the Mahatattva. And it is stressed here that the eternal form of the Lord is par excellence, spiritual or transcendental to the modes of material nature. The very same transcendental form of the Lord is manifested by his internal potency, and the formation of his multifarious manifestations of incarnations is always the same transcendental quality without any touch of the Mahatattva. Jai Om Gyana Tamarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unminitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Mano Upistam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upagadamayam Dadanti Swabhadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Guru Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Vanchakopa tubhyascha kripasindubhyovacha patitam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So the verse again. It is believed that all the universal planetary systems are situated on the extensive body of the Purusha, but he has nothing to do with the created material ingredients. His body is eternally in spiritual existence par excellence. So we, here in the first canto, we have the sages of Namasharanya. They're gathered to perform sacrifice to counteract this influence of the Kali Yuga. And there are six questions that are asked. And this chapter that we're on, chapter 3, will answer how Krishna appears in this world. That was one of the questions. And at the end of this chapter, the last question will be answered as to where people get light now that he's left us. Left this world. So we just finished chapter 2, and it's so important, such an important chapter. It was even recommended that one should memorize it. It's so important. It showed us how to increase our purity through the development of Krishna Prema, this Bhakti Paramo Muda. So we render transcendental devotional service with great relish. And it described there the three different features of the Lord. The absolute truth comes in three forms. In that verse, Vedanti Tattva Vidas, that the learned transcendentalists, they know the absolute truth, and they call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So we see the jnanis, they go for the Brahman aspect of Krishna. But the yogis, they go for the Paramatma. And the devotees, they go for this Bhagavan. And this is what our topic will be today. So also describe that any purpose, any goal, any effort that you have, any inquiry, should be toward this absolute truth. And that this bhakti that we have should only be towards Vishnu, not the demigods. Because Vishnu is the predominator of the mode of goodness. And the results of devotion go to the worship of Vishnu. And the example that was given is just like one has wood, and one can't get real benefit from the sacrifice just from wood. The dense wood represents ignorance. Or nor can you get benefit from the smoke that comes from the wood, like the mode of passion. But one gets benefit from the fire, which will represent goodness, or can actually represent Vishnu. He is the enjoyer of the sacrifice. So this Bhagavan is mentioned here as Vishnu. And then it's also mentioned as Vasudev. And that it is only he who is to be worshipped. But it wasn't still 100% clear as to who is this Bhagavan, because we're understanding so many different aspects of him. So who is he? So in this third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it actually also has a very deep and important purpose, because it concludes the presentation of the essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in fact, in this particular verse, in this particular chapter, one of the most important verses of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is here. So now we're in verses through 1 through 5 here. It describes the three Purushas, Vishnu. And the first verse was very important, actually. It talks about how Bhagavan, it's Gagrahe Purusha Rupam. He accepts the form of the Purushas. So it's given us a hint, who is Bhagavan. And now we're discussing this verse. It's describing all the different features of Krishna, Purusha. He has thousand-headed Purusha. You can see different forms are manifested. All these, and it's described that Bhagavan is the source of all these. And so they're answering the question of the sages is how the Lord incarnates in this world. So this will be answered. This is answered here. And this is described that he appears to attract the minds of the living entities. And this Purusha, he's described as an indestructible seed. And from this Garbhodhan, from this Chirodakshaya Vishnu, is what manifests all the different incarnations. But Chirodakshaya Vishnu actually comes from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So all the avatars are coming from this Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. So we're going to do like a quick summary of the chapter here, which is very graphic, and it shows the different forms that Krishna takes. It's very personal, and these are different aspects that you can actually see. So the first incarnation after the Purusha appear is, anybody know? The first incarnation is? You're looking right at it. No, the four Kamaras. They're right there. So they became as qualified Brahmanas, and they performed disciplinary activities just to become pure Brahmanas. And they came to teach transcendental knowledge. So this is the first incarnation that comes into this mature world, is these four Kamaras. And then the second incarnation, anybody know? The second incarnation. It's just showing right there. I'm giving you a hint. So it's Lord Vraha. Actually, nothing's impossible for Krishna. When it's needed that he has to enter the Pluto regions, it's a very filthy section, you know, that where the demons had hidden the earth. He takes the form of a hog, which is expert in going in filthy places. So Krishna does that. He comes as Lord. The Lord here is incarnation of boar. And the third incarnation, I actually have two here. Someone mentioned it out of place a little bit. But the third incarnation is actually Narada Muni. And he was empowered to propagate devotional service all over the universe. So you can see it's amazing. These are all personal expansions of Krishna's different aspects. And then here we have the 17th incarnation, which they happen to be together, so I put them together here. So this is, anybody recognize who that is? Yeah, Srila Vyasadeva. So he divided the Vedas into various branches and sub-branches just for the sake of the less intelligent class of people, like the Dvija Bandhus, the Sudras, and the women. So the fourth incarnation, anyone recognize them? Yes, Narayan. They were the twin sons of Dharma, and they undertook penances to control the senses. So, who also is the manifestation of Narayan? Yeah, Krishna and Arjuna. So here's the fifth incarnation. Anyone know who that is? Yes, Lord Kapila Dev. And what was his purpose in coming? What? Yeah, to teach the metaphysics, the transcendental knowledge, the analytical study of the material elements. And then the sixth incarnation, anyone recognize who that is? Dattatreya, you recognize him. Sometimes they show him with three heads because, you know why? Why he has three heads sometimes? Yes, because he was a combination of Lord Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. The Anusuya, who is the wife of this sage, Rishi Atri, she prayed to the Lord to combine together to become her son. So this Lord became, this Dattatreya came to teach the mystic yoga and also transcendental knowledge. And then the seventh incarnation, this one, his name is Yajna. Anyone know who that is? There's a hint here in these pictures. So this Yajna, he came to rule the administration of universal affairs. So because there was no one qualified, no one pious enough to become Indra, he took the post of Lord Indra. See, so there was no suitable beings that were qualified. It was a scarcity of pious divinities. So he took that post of Lord Indra. So you can see him, he's on the left side there. Or the right, your left side, yeah. So the eighth incarnation is? Yes, Lord Rishabhdev. And he was the son of King Nabi and Merudev. And what was his purpose? He taught his sons how to follow the path of perfection by tapasya. And why? Because it sanctifies one's existence and it enables one to attain spiritual happiness. So he teaches tapasya. And the ninth incarnation? I didn't hear that. The concha went off at the same time. King Prithu, yes. And who was he empowered with? What aspect of Krishna? Yeah, that's one. Yeah. But you're both right. Yeah, he was empowered with executive function. And he excavated many produces from the earth. And that way he made the citizens very, very happy because they had such a good king. And he also made the earth look very beautiful and attractive. And the tenth incarnation? Yes, Matsya. He's the form of a fish. And he came to... Yeah, came to protect Vishvavata Manu. So he kept him in this boat during the devastation between the different Manus. And the 11th incarnation? Kurmadev, the tortoise form. And what was his purpose? Yeah, how? When... Yeah, but so his shell was served as a pivot for the Mandara hill, which was the churning rod. And then it produced nectar from the sea. And what was that nectar for? Well, they both wanted it, though. It's for the theists and the atheists to become deathless. And then the 12th incarnation, Dhanvantari. And what was his purpose? What aspect of Krishna? Yeah, Ayurveda. And also it's described his fame aspect also. And here we are. Who's that? The 13th incarnation of Krishna. And she came to what aspect of Krishna? By? Yeah. So it's the beauty of Krishna. And she gave nectar to the demigods, stole it from the demons, lured it away. And here we have the 14th incarnation of Krishna. Who's that? Sringadev. And what was his aspect? He had this opulence of killing. Very powerful. And not only, he killed the most powerful atheist who was... Hiranyakashipu, with just his nails. Hiranyakashipu was the most powerful person in the universe. Everybody was afraid of him. Everyone, but still, no comparison to even an aspect of Krishna. Now, this is the 15th incarnation of Krishna. And who is that? What aspect did he show? Also showed his beauty. Is very beautiful. And he also came to show that he can bestow upon anyone the kingdom of the universe, and he could also take it away just from a small beginning. Like one just performs some devotional service, pleases Krishna, he could give you everything. And if Krishna could easily take it away just from one or two steps. So this is his aspect. And then the 16th incarnation, Bhrigupati, another name. And what was his aspect? Yes, he also had the opulence of killing the disobedient Kshatriyas, and he annihilated them 21 times. at the speed of the mind. Then he got tired and slowed down to the speed of the wind. Who is this now? Lord Ram. And what was one of his features of Krishna? Yeah, I'm asking what all these different incarnations' features are. So Lord Ram's feature is his fame and superhuman powers by controlling the Indian Ocean and killing also great atheist Ravana. So he pleased the demigods by maintaining order in the universe. And who is this 19th and 20th incarnations? Krishna and Balaram. So what was Balaram's aspect? Krishna. His aspect. Krishna's, Balaram's feature of, is it clear? Yeah. So one of his features is strength, you said. Also beauty. And he was one of the first, the phalanx of expansions, the plenary expansions, Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna. Which one is Balaram? Sankarshan. And then Lord Krishna, who is he? He's Vasudev. So he exhibited the complete features of Godhead. So all these different aspects that we mentioned, Krishna actually has them all in completeness. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says there's no truth greater or equal to him. So when Bhagavan comes to remove the burden of the world. And then the 21st incarnation, Lord Buddha, and what was his aspect? His purpose? Yes. He came to delude those who are envious of the faithful theists by indirectly creating faith in the mass of the people by, getting rid of slaughtering and meat eating and things like that. And here's the 22nd one that's listed in this chapter. It goes through 22 different incarnations of Krishna. And which one is this one? And what was his purpose? Yes. All right. He came at the end of Kali Yuga and the beginning of Satya Yuga to appear to kill the rulers who have degenerated to plunderers. So this is the aspects of Krishna that's described in this chapter. So just like Krishna is like a gem. He has so many different facets, so many aspects. And he can manifest any one of these personally. Any one of these attributes he can manifest personally. But yet all these features are in total in his in his form. And the Bhagavatam describes how there are 64 principal attributes of Krishna. And he has 100% of all of those. Which is amazing. So it's also described how Krishna, in this chapter actually, there's a verse that says, O Brahmanas, the incarnations of the Lord are innumerable like rivulets flowing from inexhaustible sources of water. So this chapter only gave us a partial view of all the incarnations. There's many others. We didn't mention Hari Griva, Hari Hamsa, Vibhu. There's so many different ones mentioned. And it's described there that in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes Prahlad Maharaj. He says, My Lord, you manifest as many incarnations as there are species of life, namely the aquatics, the vegetables, the reptiles, the birds, the beasts, the men and the demigods, etc., just for the maintenance of the faithful and the annihilation of the unfaithful. You advent yourself in this way in accordance with the necessity of the different yugas. So we see Krishna, we're getting to see he's the saman bonum. Everything expands through him. Different forms, he has the Svayamupa, the Svayam Prakash, the Tari Katma, the Prabhava, the Vaibhava. There's so many different forms. Aveshas and the Jivas. They're all aspects of Krishna. And they're all provided with suitable energies just according to their persons and their personalities. Just so that they can perform that certain aspect. So as we mentioned, Krishna has all these 64 attributes. 100%, 100%, Prabhupada says. The Vishnu Tattvas, they have only 93%. And Shiva, who's in a completely different category, he has 84%. And the Jivas, guess how many we get to have? I heard it over here. 78, yeah. So and then we have these in various degrees according to our pious life. You can develop them. So who in this world has them to 100% now? Yeah, Lord Brahma. So this is what happens sometimes. If someone doesn't have these qualities, so Krishna has to come himself to take these posts of the demigods. So the demigods have also, they can attain these 78%, but they also have them in various degrees, you know, much more than human beings. And by developing these 78% of the attributes in fullness, then the jivas, ourselves, we can actually enter into the planet of Krishna, Krishna Loka, after we leave this material body. So here it shows all the different aspects. And we can see at the bottom there, Krishna actually appeared in Kali Yuga in the garb of a devotee as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya are actually the same. They're non-different. They're actually both the original source of all other incarnations. So just see, only 500 years ago, this Supreme Person with all these aspects has appeared in Kali Yuga. So, as I mentioned in this particular chapter, there's one sloka that's like the essence of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's always given in the beginning because it's very, very important. And Jiva Goswami, this is a picture of Jiva Goswami. It's said that there's never been a scholar, nor has there ever been a scholar like him. And he knows the Srimad Bhagavatam just like if you have a walnut in your hand. That's how he knows the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he wrote these sandarbhas, the sat sandarbhas. And in the fourth sandarbha, it describes all these different aspects of Krishna. And he explains how throughout all the Vedic literatures, it says that there's so many different verses that says Lord Narayan is the supreme. And others say that Mahavishnu is the supreme. And even others may say Lord Brahman is the supreme. It could go on and on again. And it's interesting to note that actually Jiva Goswami's philosophy of the Sandarbhas is actually in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, it's there in the Adi Lila in the second chapter. All the philosophy is directly taken from Jiva Goswami's Sandarbhas. So it's so powerful. We can get everything there. So Jiva Goswami quotes one verse from this chapter, and it's a special sutra. It's so special. There's different sutras. It's called the Paribhasha Sutra. There's only one in a book, in one of the books. So there's only one in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it gives the essence. It's the key to understanding the entire book, the entire import of the book. And it's in a very condensed form. And that way you can understand the rest of the shastras, all the different arguments, all the different prayers, etc., by understanding this one verse. Because in the 11th canto, it's described how Krishna, he likes, you know, to hear verses and things, prayers that are indirectly spoken and that they have many meanings. Krishna likes that. So you can see their sutras, they can packed with meanings, and you know, they indirectly can say different things so people can interpret. So Krishna likes that. So how can you maintain a consistent understanding with that kind of, you know, packed slokas that we have? And it's by this one Paribhasha Sutra you can understand. It's like described as a great Maharati king. He can defeat many thousands of soldiers. So this one sloka, it could defeat all arguments against who is the supreme Bhagavan? Because this one verse in this particular chapter describes that. In fact, he had so many arguments, he actually came up with the arguments against this, and then he defeated them all. So amazingly and minutely that for over 400 years, nobody's even dared to try to refute his arguments. This is how powerfully he defeated it. So what's that most important verse of the Bhagavatam? He knows it. Wow. Let's chant again. Ete chamsa kala pumsa krishnas tu bhagavan swayam indrari vyakulam lokam mridayanti yuge yuge. See, many of you already know it. It's a very powerful one. And the translation? All the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of the plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. All of them appear on the planets wherever there is a disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. So then, he just, with this one sloka, defeats so many other scriptures and even so many arguments within the Bhagavatam too that one may think, oh, this, you know, who's Bhagavan? So, and then he begins to, not only that, he begins to find the king, the Maharati, has many foot soldiers and other warriors that help him. So there's many verses that actually support this verse in the Bhagavatam. And he quotes one of the most important ones, Jiva Goswami. So actually, before we get to that, since today is Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's disappearance, and we mentioned his book, the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which he had written, it's very nice. We should honor him. Just to say a few words about him, because he is taking this knowledge and packing it into the Chaitanya Charitamrita from all these great scholars like Jiva Goswami, you know, things like this. So he's very humble, and with profound humility, he actually glorifies Lord Nityananda in this way. He says, I'm more sinful than Jagai Madai and lower than a maggot in stool. Whoever hears my name loses the results of his virtuous deeds, and whoever utters my name commits a sin. Other than Nityananda, could anyone in this world show mercy to one who is abominable as me? Nityananda is the incarnation of mercy. He is so intoxicated by ecstatic love that he does not discriminate between good and the bad. He delivers anyone who falls down before him. Therefore, he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. So just see how humble he is. And then he writes the final pastimes of the Lord, and he describes how without the mercy of the Vishnu and the Vaishnavas, it's impossible to glorify them. And then he says here, Chaitanya Charitamrita is being dictated to me by Madana Mohan. My writing is like the repetition of a parrot. I write as Madana Gopal orders me, just as a wooden marionette is made to dance by a puppeteer. So here's where in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he made use of Sarup Damodar's notes, and also Raghunath Das Goswami had memorized all those notes. And today is also his disappearance day. Raghunath Das Goswami. He actually memorized all the notes that Sarup Damodar had written in Sanskrit. And he told him, memorize them and preach them throughout the world. So here he says here, though I am an insignificant living being, though the blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through the best blessings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I have summarized in writing everything that Sarup Damodar recorded in his notes about the Lord's pastimes, as well as everything that I heard from the mouth of Raghunath Das. So here, this is a thing that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami said about the superlative character of the Chaitanya Charitamrita he was telling his disciples. It's quoted here. If it were to happen that all the books in the world were destroyed, leaving only Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita, then the people of this world would still be able to achieve the ultimate goal of life. Even if the Srimad Bhagavatam were lost, leaving only the Chaitanya Charitamrita, there would be no loss to humanity. For that which has not been revealed in the Bhagavat is found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The supreme absolute truth is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the combined form of Radha and Krishna. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is his sound incarnation. The divine mystery of Radharani's divine status and glories are found therein. Can there be any doubt, therefore, of the supreme status of this piece of transcendental literature? So just see what we have, such powerful literatures, and they're there for us available to just absorb in. But yet we're finding ourselves, as Savas mentioned this morning, we're tuned in to the internet, to Facebook, to so much prajapa, mundane literatures. It's just a shame. I mean, we have so much nectar, the most powerful nectar. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who manifested all these powers and aspects that we've just seen, is actually appearing in his books. In fact, he's even appearing in his name. We'll discuss that. So one authoritative thing about the Chaitanya Charitamrita, to even bring it more authoritative, Vishnava Chakravarti Thakur was writing his commentary on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he was unable to understand why Kaviraj Goswami had written the Kama Gayatri Mantra consisting of 24 syllables rather than 25. So he became so distraught that he took a vow to fast on the banks of the Radhakund. And then as he dozed off in the middle of the night, the daughter of Rishabhanu appeared to him in a dream and said to him, "Oh, Vishnunath, get up. Krishna Das is indeed written correctly. He is my dear girlfriend who brings me much pleasure. I have blessed him so that he can understand the most intimate truths about myself. Do not doubt anything he has written. In the book named Varnagama Basvat, it is written that whenever the syllable Ya is followed by the syllable V, it is considered to be only half a syllable." I don't know why they close that. I guess they have a certain time to close that. I hope you're able to hear that. Did you hear that? You couldn't hear it, right? What I said? I closed it right during class. So, Radharani appeared to Vishnu Chakravarti in a dream and said that, actually, don't doubt that, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami has made a mistake because he's my girlfriend and I've personally guiding him and blessing him so that he writes properly. And she mentioned how when in a certain way in this book it describes that there's a syllable Ya and V, when they're together or when it's followed by V, then it's considered to be a half of a syllable only. Okay, so there, that's that. So here's Krishna. So leaving Lord Brahma, he says, "Can this be the supreme controller? Let me test him and see." So after he tests him, you know the whole story. Krishna, tricked him with his powerful. We won't go into the story. But anyway, this is a supporting verse that Lord Brahma says to the Parivasa Sutra that I mentioned. And this is from 10.14.14. And it's Narayanastvam nahi sarva dehinam atmasi adi sakilam lokasaksi Narayanongam narabu jalanyat tach chappi satyam natavavai maya. So that's a verse, Narayanongam. So Narayan is one of my portions. So he says, "Are you not the original Narayan, O Supreme Controller? Since you are the soul of every embodied being and the eternal witness of all created realms, indeed, Lord Narayan is your expansion, and he is called Narayan because he is the generating source of the primeval water of the universe. He is real, not a product of your illusory Maya." So you can see here. So who is the supreme now? Is it the Mahavishnu, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, or is it Krishna? So we see Krishna is the source of everything. And as he bewildered Lord Brahma, he aspected all these Narayan forms from the cowherd boys and the cows. Can you imagine that? Such unlimited aspects of Krishna. So here we are, we're bathing in these rivulets of Krishna's activities, you know, about his different expansions, his holy names, just to purify our consciousness so that we can enter into his eternal realm. And there, we can perform the function of this, of our consciousness, the real highest aspect of consciousness, which is Krishna consciousness. That's that love of God, devotional service. So here's Krishna in his abode. And due to our misuse of our independence, Krishna's made this fantastic arrangement for us to express our independence in the mature world. But at the same time, he's given us some opportunities to try to come back to him. Look at so many different realms he's made throughout this universe. It's a huge phantasmagoria. This amazing universe. And you can see that's where we are. So there's one more story in the 10th canto that proves that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And it's from that 10th canto, 89th chapter, where the whole pastime where this Brahmana's children are being dying one after another. You remember that pastime? And then Arjuna claims that he can get them back. But then Arjuna fails, and he's going to enter fire. And then Krishna said, don't, please, I'll take you to where they are. So they go, where do they go? You could see the earth planet there. They go all the way to Mahavishnu. They penetrate the entire universe, and they go to Mahavishnu. And here, it's concluded that he was so eager, always so eager to see Krishna and Arjuna, that he made this whole arrangement so that he could see Krishna. Which, you know, Arjuna was realizing, actually, why would he do that? I mean, why is he so eager to see Krishna? Can he just, you know, come himself? Why does he have to still make this whole arrangement? And he realized that actually it's because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he confirmed that with Krishna. And Krishna said, yes, that's correct. I am the Supreme. So here we see we're in this material world, and it's described like we're in a well, and if you're shouting, help, help, help. So someone hears you and they throw down a rope. And you see that rope coming down? You can see it there. There's this white rope coming down. What is that? That's the Hare Krishna mantra. So therefore it's said, this Goloka Premadana, Harinam Sankirtan, it comes from this, from the spiritual world. And it's not a material sound, Prabhupada says. And this movement is not a material movement. It's completely spiritual. Just like you could receive sounds, vibrations from radios, you know, you could get messages from the internet, from computers, so many different things. So there's another kind of machine. And this is how you can receive the vibration from the spiritual world, is by following this process of Krishna consciousness that's given to us in the Bhagavatam, purifying our existence, purifying our consciousness, and taking up this Krishna consciousness of chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then all our anxiety, all the burnings of the heart is completely freed. So thank you very much. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Okay, no time for questions.
Goloka Premadana.